Friday, 11th of June, Koftes Sivon, Rabbi Avram Copeland, Insights into Parshas Korach.
Good morning. I'm not sure how the acoustics work here in three directions. When we look at Parshas Korach, perhaps we should be terrified. If you ask anyone, they'll tell you, oh, Parshas Korach, that teaches you, don't get involved in Machlaikis. Machlaikis is Eish. There's a story you may have heard of two people 150 years ago. They were arguing over the ownership of a field. A terrible argument. They wouldn't settle it in the Beis Din. And the Rav took them to the field, and he bent down, he put his ear to the ground, and he said, what's going on here? What's going on? He said, don't you hear? The earth is saying, you say, the field is mine. And you say the field is mine. And you destroy everything with machlaikis. And you know what the earth is saying? At the end, you both belong to me. And the machlaikis stopped. However, life isn't like that. But what's terrifying is not to me the machlaikis. We can understand that. What's terrifying is Korach thought he meant the Shem Shemaim. And not only did he think he meant the Shem Shemaim, the 250 people who he gathered together were Roshi Sanhedrius. Rashi says, Reuven Mishevet Reuven. Most were from Reuven the neighbor. Other Mephoshim say, you take 23 from each Shevet, one Sanhedria Kitana from each Shevet, not Levi, because he wanted to, his confederates wanted to cancel out Shevet Levi and replace them with the Bechor. 23 times 11 gives you 253. You add in Dosan Aviram and Aon Ben Pelish, you had your 253. 11 small Sanhedrins. Yemashiach, whoever they were. But Gedolei Yisrael of that generation, we see the whole congregation listen to Korach. Okay, he tried a little trick. He found one of the treasure stores that Yosef HaTzadik had prepared for Paro, an immense, immense treasure store. And he found this was a third of the whole wealth. Haman also found one. It's Momun Shomu Lebal Avra Osa, money which was kept for the owner, for his own bad, not for his good. Rather than benefiting from it and using it for good, it went to his head and he wasn't aware of it. And he made a big feast, and when he invited these Roshi Sanhedrius, once they had enjoyed themselves, he told them, Moshe Rabbeinu is making things up. And let us remember, it's easy for us. We weren't there. Or maybe we were. Rav Tzadik HaKayin, I seem to remember, says the Daur HaMabul were his Galgil, they came back as Daur HaMidbar, and they failed their tests, 10 tests, and they come back again in the last Daur of Ikvud Meshicha, which is probably our Daur. So we don't know how many of us were there. All I can guarantee is, if any of us were there, we would have followed Korach. Because Kalu Edo, the Roshi Sanhedrin, followed Korach. Ruva, the Ruva of the Nesim, of the Yud-Beis Nesim, were amongst those 250 people. And once they said, Moshe is making things up, Korach is right. Who would know and stand up and say, definitely Korach is wrong? He had the moral support of the people. And we see worse than that. even after Taurach Vedosa were swallowed up and the 250 people who brought the Ketores were burnt up, the next day the whole congregation gathered against Moshe and said, "You have killed the Am Hashem," not the rebels, the Am Hashem. The Kadosh Baruch Hu took your part because you're the leader. You could have done it in a different way. We think Karuch was right. And then there was a Magepha. So how can anyone know? Karuch was sure he meant the Shem Shemaim. What was the Shoresh? How did it start? It probably started with his great wealth, which gave him an importance. But we don't see anything wrong. Moshe's a leader. Okay. Aaron's a kind Godel. Two brothers. I should be next in line. But maybe it's okay. And then what? A nephew, a younger nephew is Nossi, and Kauru thinks, "I don't know that's okay. I think I should be. But maybe it's alright. Maybe. Yet." And then what happens? Or what's happening round about? Moshe, on the instructions of Hashem, takes 22,000 Levim, and with Nisim Gedolim, Aaron, the Kohen, after they've all been shaved of every hair of their body, whatever that means Kabbalistically, he waves them like a lulav, the Mala, the Mata, the Abba Kanfos, the Vav Ketzavos, the seven spheres. The Kodesh Baruch Hu controls everything above, below, and in every direction. And that, for whatever reason, whatever it makes in the Olam HaZeh, Yaonim brought the Levim into the Revalda. And you know what? Kaurach didn't complain. Kaurach was quite happy to have all his hair shaved off and be waved around. And then the Medrash says he went through the camp and some people didn't recognize him. What's happened to you? What? You had a shave all your body. Peculiar. Already that remark caused damage. We don't know what damage a remark can make. Someone makes a remark to their son about his wife. Or his wife. About the son. You don't mean wrong. They mean the Taivas Ben or the Bas. And that can destroy a marriage. And I've seen it. A casual remark. That's okay. And he's feeling now his nephew should not have had. There's something going wrong here. Moshe's. I don't know. But Kaurach was from B'nai Kehos, Naisi Ha'oron. You know the Ruchanistika Madrega. To carry the Oran, anyone else would die if they touched it. Great as Moshe in some ways. And then his wife, Chochmas Isha Bonso Besa, the wisdom of a woman built her house, Shlomo HaMelech says. But the foolish woman, with her own hands, she destroys her family. She said to him, "You're a baldy, what happened to you?" He says, "Moshe, had us all shaved, and Aaron waved us around." She said, "I know. He's making a fool of you." But he did it to everyone. "He's making a fool of you all. It's a little sonus." Well, he did it himself. Moshe also shaved all his hair off. And Aaron. "Tomus Nashkin Polishtim," says his wife. "It's worth it for him to make a fool of himself. It doesn't bother him as long as he can make a fool of you." Ach, Moshe takes everything for himself. He's the king, his brothers are kind Godel. His sons of Aaron, they're also kind him. You're only a Levi. Ach, gornisht. Don't stand for it. And those words went like a poison and worked deep down. And he thought, "She's right. What's going on here? Kulam Kedaishim, we all heard a Naichi Hashem Elokecha, a Gilishchina direct, something unbelievable, which never happened before, will never happen again, that Gans Klal Yisrael heard from a Kodesh Baruch Hu directly, a degree of Gilish Chinen and Porchen Ishmosam, Kulam Kedoshim. You don't need a leader. Well, he wants to be the leader. Forget that. You don't need a leader. Of course he wants to be the leader. And the Kohen Gadol. So Moshe shouldn't have appointed this nephew before me. I see that. He uses his own discretion. And now let's take the background. Moshe brought them out of Mitzrayim. They didn't need to leave Mitzrayim from the Gashmiistic point of view. They destroyed Mitzrayim for 500... Well, not to... after Kriyas Yam Suf, Mitzrayim historically was destroyed for 500 years. But even before then, after the Makkos, the slavery had dropped. Mitzrayim was weakened. Imagine we could have stayed there. Many didn't have power, and many didn't come out. They died, and the Shlosh Shemir failure. We could have now, they thought, we could have stayed, things would have been fine. You see, in the Midbar, when things went wrong, the people said, why did you bring us out of Mitzrayim? Let's go back.
It says, when you're on Chud, they complain.
Yeah, they complain. No, but why do they complain? Because they said, why do we take us in the Midbar?
No.
Yes, okay. Okay.
No,
it was finished, the slavery, yes. So they thought things could be okay. Who says it's Moshe's idea, maybe? Who says the Kodesh Baruch Hu said? But okay, if things go well, we don't complain. When things go bad, and now there's been Meraglim, and what does that mean? We're going to all die the whole Dour in the Midbar. So it doesn't take much to upset them. Moshe is to blame. We're all going to die in the Midbar. It's no use. It's no use. What's he done to us? So therefore, when Korah said Moshe makes things up, you see, he made himself the leader. He made his brother the Kohen Gadol. He made his brother's sons into the Kohanim. We're only the Levim. And not only that, after the Ego, Moshe said that Hashem said, who said Hashem said? That the Levim will be the ones who serve in the Mishkan, and the Bechor will be cancelled out. Put the Bechorim back. So now you have Korah, who wants to be the leader, and the Kohen Gadol, but he says everyone is equal and we don't need any leader. You have he wants the Levim to, you don't need the Kohanim. And the all his confederates from Bnei Reuven want Reuven as the Bechor to be the Shevet, who are the Meshorshi Hashem. You have the Bechorim in Klal Yisrael who say we should take back from Levim. They're all across purposes, but they've one thing in common. Moshe's made this up. And from Smuchim, the previous parsha was Tzitzis, the Medrash says that his wife told him. You know, you all know it from Rashi, Beged Shethula Techelis. He took the 250 leaders, he dressed them in Techelis, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, these begotten, do they need tzitzis? Yes, they need tzitzis, we learned the Pasha. What? He put one thread of Techelis and some tzitzis on the corner, and the Techelis patters the seat of the Beged, and here this cloak is Kula Techelis. It doesn't make sense. You made it up. Do you know what Korah has said? He didn't mean to, but what he said is you can't rely on any halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu says. He's kofer b'Torah kula without meaning to do so. To Korah, there is no Torah. Why should anyone obey any halacha that Moshe said? There's only two halachas they heard directly. Anochi v'layelecha. And then it says a deep Nibus, the rest even went through Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe they can accept that. The rest, they've no intention of saying the Torah is not Emes, but that's what it comes to. Why should anyone in that Dour or any future Dour accept any halacha? Moshe makes things up. He says what he wants. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu lets him away with it because he's the leader. He didn't mean to mevassal the Torah and the Mesaura, but that's what he's done. That's Korach. And Korach means so much the Shem Hashem, Longat Yisnasu al Kahal Hashem, he's prepared. And hear this carefully. He's prepared to take these 250 Rosh Ha'am, including most in the Nesim, and Rosh Sanhedrius. And he's told if they bring the Ketores, everyone will die except one. So Aaron died, big deal. And let all of these people die. What a pity. But it's Kedai, it's worthwhile, because Moshe Rabbeinu is usurping power from the people. Kulam Kedoshim, we have to put things the way they should be, and it's Kedai to be Moshe Nefesh, let them die. And the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Chotu b'nashoson. And Chazal asked him, Kaurak, he was a Pikeach. He's not such a fool. He's an Odom Godol Mi'od. They're all great people. But an Odom Godol Mi'od, equal to Moshe Rabbeinu in many ways. Why did he agree to bring the Ketores? And we say why. Rashi springs why. Because he saw the future. He saw Shmuel and Novi was equal to Moshe and Aaron in whatever way. And he saw the 24 Mishmoris of Levim with Ruach HaKodesh descended from him. And he said two things. Watch the words. He said two things. One thing he said was, all this greatness is coming from me, I can't die. Because if I bring the Ketores and I'm the one who dies, there won't be Shmuel and Ovi. And also, it seems from the words of Rashi, if we medayek carefully, he says, if all this is coming from me and I shouldn't get anything, the Shaurish, everything comes from the Shaurish. Yaakov Avinu said that the name of Kaurah shouldn't be called back to Yaakov Avinu with the Yichus. The Sforim said, because our Kayach and Ruchanis comes from the previous Daurus, right back. And if it goes back to the Ovis, and the Pigam of Kaurah goes back to the Ovis, there is no Tikkun. It shouldn't go back that deep. There must still be a little drop somewhere where it's possible to do teshuva. The Pigam shouldn't reach the whole way back, and it should have, therefore, Yaakov says, Al Techad Kevaudi, it shouldn't go back that far. Must chat. So here we have this Kaurach, making a rebellion, the Shem Shemaim, prepared that many Gedal Israel will die. Aaron will die. And Moshe, they're prepared to stone. For the sake of the people, Kulam Kedoshim. The Shem Shemaim Mamish. He's prepared his own children will die, so it seems. You can argue in that, but it seems so. It's worth it. And what does it say in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? An example of a machlaikis which is not the Shem Shemaim. Zekarech v'dosa. Karech would never agree it's not the Shem Shemaim. And that's what's frightening. Not the machlaikis. The thought it's l'shem Shemaim. Because as our Chachomim tell us, when a machlaikis, and we need machlaikis very often, we have to stand up for the emes. But it's Eish. And when we think it's l'shem Shemaim, there's almost no way of tikkun. Because we think we're doing a big mitzvah. And it's Eish. And it was Eish. Now Rabbi Oyam. That's Kaurach. We had a machlaikis, which you probably all know about, after Shabtai Tzvi, when it weakened the whole structure of Jewish life. That after him, they were very frightened of people giving amulets and Kabbalah Maisius, and therefore Rabbi Yaakov Emden was chayshish to Rabbi Yamson Eibeshitz, to Gedali Eilam, we know a saga of their greatness. And he tried to stop him, and when Rabbi Yonason wouldn't be chauzer from what he was doing, he went to war against him. And they both meant the Shem Shemaim, and they both had to go the way they went. Where was the problem? The problem was the Talmidim. One must protest strongly if someone insults one's Rebbe, or a Talmud Chochem, never mind one's Rebbe. But it was a bitter fight between the Talmidim and the hangers-on, the Nochschleppers, the Stalm of the Nochschleppers. And what was the result? The result was, historically, a weakening of Kovod HaTorah right through Europe. Mamish, a weakening of Kovod HaTorah, lost respect for Torah and Talmidim for coming to a large degree amongst the common people. And only that was the hachana which eventually prepared the way for the maskilim, to come in the next century and start off the process which brought us to the Matzav which we have today in Rav Klal Yisrael. Look like this L'Shem Shemaim, with people involved who perhaps forget L'Shem Shemaim, or L'Shem Shemaim which isn't L'Shem Shemaim. That's what's terrifying. And what in Dosan and Aviram? Oh, you ask anyone, they'll tell you they're stam gurnished, wicked people, Bali Machlaikas, always looking for Machlaikas. I am not so sure. It's been said if Kauruch walked in today, we'd all stand up for him. Some Hasidic Rebbes have said, if Kauruch was here today, he would be a Rebbe giving tish with many followers. Of course, he was a great man, and he lost everything. The Gemara is speaking about 1,200 years after the Maisa, that they heard him in Gehinnom saying, Moshe emes, v'tarosa emes, and we are liars. Gehinnom. We only say Kaddish 11 months, but our Rosh Yer before some 12 months. 1,200 years later, he's still in Gehinnom. And Gehinnom means Pashtus. An immense embarrassment and regret which must be metahir in the Shoma. And 1,200 years it still wasn't purified from that began. Perhaps it's not surprising that Yaakov Avinu was anxious that Pagam shouldn't go back to his roots. 1,200 years. We make our own neshama, its mitzias and aylam abo, whether good or bad, by our midas and our hoggers and what we do and what's deeply ingrained. 1,200 years. It's unbelievable. But Dosan and Aviram, we see them in Mitzrayim. Moshe killed Dimitri because of what he was doing to kill an Ivri who was the husband of Shlamis Bas Dibri. That one I've forgotten was either Dosan or Aviram. They were brothers-in-law. And the next day when Dosan and Aviram were arguing whether Shlamis should be divorced, whether she shouldn't be divorced, and fighting, and Moshe told them, Lomasar Kesri Echo, they were mouse him to para. So it looks like there were tremendous Rishoim. And I'm not so sure. Because who was Moshe at that time? He was a royal prince. They would see him as a Jewish renegade, representative of the power who were enslaving the whole people. Let's be Mulamitzchus. Perhaps they saw him as an enemy of the people who's taking heirs for himself. Okay, he's interfered this once in their favour. But he's bossing them around. Well, most of him will get rid of one of these princes. Who knows? And we see them a lifetime later, when they'd lost their position of power and their riches, the Choshev Kmeis, and Moshe came back to Paro and said, send the people. And Paro says, Hachbed ha, make the work worse, don't give them straw. And the Shaltri B'nai Yisrael, the officers of the Jewish people who were Jewish themselves, were beaten because they wouldn't beat their slaves and force them to do the impossible. They urged them, they didn't beat them and persecute them. They took it on their own backs. And they were Zaycha because of that to be leaders in the Midbar. And who were they? Amongst them, perhaps seems representative of them, was Dosan and Aviram. And when Moshe came out from Paro, they said to him, what have you done? You made problems for the people. You're our enemy. Why do you interfere? You're giving Paro a sword to kill us. He didn't say we got beaten because of you. They're saying you're killing the people. And Moshe went back and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you won't be able to bring them into Eretz Yisrael because you've asked this question. What does that mean? It means that there was something lacking in the Madriga of the people at Moshe, which indicated this Gula, was a geula of la yuchlalisma mea. This wasn't going to be a geula shlema, and the people wouldn't be able to follow Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership, and events would develop as they would develop. But the catalyst was Dosan Aviram's argument to Moshe, "You're putting a sword in Paro's hand to kill the people. Don't interfere." And then in the Midbar, who broke the rules with the man, tried to show Moshe Rabbeinu was making up stories? Dosan Aviram. So we see they're kenoyim of a different type and troublemakers, and from the beginning their antagonistic attitude to Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't departed. But I suspect, again, if they were alive today, they might not be Gedal Yisrael. They would be kenoyim kitzanim, and they would have people who were not like them, who would believe them and follow them and respect them. Because they would see what they are saying has a toichen to it, but it's out of context. Who knows? And who else do we have? We have Aaron ben Peles. And Aaron ben Peles spent the rest of his life doing teshuva, Aloshina Ninus Aun, regretting what he'd done. And but for his wife, he would have perished with them. And what happens when it's all over? They still come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, "You have killed the Am Hashem. You didn't have to do it that way. You didn't have to ask them to bring the Ketores. Maybe they were right. At least, maybe the Levim shouldn't be the Levim. Maybe you did what you shouldn't do and took it off the Bechoros and gave it to your family. We don't know. It seems so. Why did you kill the Am Hashem? The whole Eder gathered against them. Why did you kill the Am Hashem? You've done it." And 14,700 people died. And there's only 3 minutes, so I'm not going to explain exactly in detail, but very much in a bird's eye view, why 14,700 Ledaiti. I have a specialist Inyan, a very big Inyan, which I've learnt from my cousin, the Menashe. There is a whole code in the Torah, nothing to do, that overlaps with the Arachim and other codes, a code of mathematics. Nothing's by coincidence in the Torah. You take that 14,700, Bekitzer Mamish, you divide that, you'll notice it divides by 7, and again by 7. In other words, a whole 49 Madregas. The 49 that we count, 7 times 7, we go through all the Spiros. It's a complete Kaumer Shlemer of the Tikkun HaNefesh. There's a 49 Madregas of Tuma or of Tara. We came out of that in Mitzrayim, and we counted that to Kibbolus the Torah. And that's multiplied by 300. And 300, 100 is a very powerful measure of anything. 300 in the Gemara means a very vast number. That Kaum HaShleimer of 49, it can be Emes and it can be Sheker. And 3 happens to be, there's no time now, but it happens to be the number which denotes either Emes or Sheker. Sheker is 6. Emes is 9. Every multiple of 9 comes to 9 because the Emes is no compromise. It must be Emes Lamita. Every number you multiply by 9 and take Mispakot and add them together, you get back to 9. Sheker could be 369 if you take the digits. But 3 is the basic of them both. And 3, I have 1 minute left, 3 is because 1 is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Alufa Shalailon. 2 is once the creation is made, there's a Piru, there's a separation, there's a Sheker, we only see the Bria. 3 is when you take a Kodesh Baruch Hu and you put it with that Pirud. You understand that inside creation, inside nature, Teva is a Gematria of Elohim. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu running the world. And that is 3. And therefore there's a whole series, that the whole thick hold in the Torah, that 3 is the basis of every, of the, is the basis of the, every staff and everything. So you can have Sheker and you can have Emes through the whole 49 Madregas, Tarek was sure he was Emes. 14,700, 49 times 300 died. Is telling you it's 49, but it's 3, and it's Shekel. Okay.